Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosmity, and today I'm joined by Yadin Porter De Leon, who is the Director of Customer Stories and Thought Leadership over at Heroku, which is a part of Salesforce. Yadin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's so much fun. I'm excited. So glad to be here.
We had a great conversation before this episode, because when I think about a lot of ABM programs, we often recommend going bottoms up. But you've got great experience actually going straight to the top and engaging your target accounts at the C-suite level in a way that actually converts instead of getting you blacklisted. So I'm excited to dig into that.
The struggle's real. The struggle's real.
Oh, super real. And the other thing before people just say, oh, well, he works at Salesforce. You've done this in multiple organizations, some obviously that have a large brand, but others that didn't. So these same principles and these same practices work across organizational sizes. So I'm excited to dig into that with you. So that said, can you just give us the general high level overview as you think about engaging C-suite executives? What are some of those guiding principles that you've seen work across different kinds of programs and different organizations?
I know the tough thing is there's a lot of wisdom out there. Well, that's a great setup. Actually, taking a step back, that's a good setup because it is really important because there's a lot of frustration with companies, smaller companies, groups where they're not getting any response from the C-suite. Nothing, email blasts, they're trying to go out into events, you know, third-party events that promised like you'll get to rub elbows with these people, and it is tough. So don't be discouraged is number one. So let's start out with that high-level framework that you talked about. Starting small is really important. Most likely the person who runs your company has relationships with C-suites at other companies. So that is the very, very first step. And it's like, you know, some people like rolling their eyes. Yeah, duh. Like, no, seriously, find those who have found value in what you are doing. Work with the C-suite in your company. Find out who their peers are and find that first person who is super bosom buddies with your CEO, your CTO, whoever your C-suite is at your company, and figure out who you can talk to, even if it's just a web story, even if it's just, hey, we're just going to show up for a webinar. Get them to be able to do some sort of activity that then gives you a proof point to be able to then reach out to another executive and say, look at what we did with X person. And this is what we did with them. And this is how good we made them look. And this is the value we delivered to them. So like, this is almost like being in sales. I mean, sometimes in marketing, we got to put our sales hats on and realize we are selling something. And we have to realize there has to be value, you know, at the end of that sales conversation. We're looking at engaging with anyone so that we can create the market as our job as marketers. And especially when we're doing an ABM program, we're highly, highly focused. So if you say, hey, look, I'm trying to get after the CIO of, you know, GE Healthcare, or I'm trying to get at to the, you know, the CEO of, you know, NASA Jet Propulsion Labs. And these are two different examples that I you know, got to at two very, very different size companies. And the thing you can do is, you know, and you talked about bottoms up too, which is also an important part of this. You can go to the top, you know, of your C-suite and look at, see the relationships, try and make those connections. But you can also go to the bottoms up within the ABM organization. You're like, hey, look, I know who the director is at least, or I know who the senior manager is at least. And then start to deliver value up that chain. And I know some people, have, you know, so like, the, you know, there might be other eye rolls there, but it is important, but it is hard. And a lot of the times, and I was just having this conversation with somebody, a lot of the times marketing doesn't want to eat its vegetables. And what that means is doing the hard work, like segmentation, like, you know, in ABM, really, really, I mean, segmentation is always like the least, you know, the thankless job of ABM sometimes. And finding out who those individuals are, you can start to level up that conversation. So, so there is a little bit of a, hey, tops down, a little bit of bottoms up, but that's going highly focused, figure out who you want to attack and then attack them from both sides. But the big overall arching theme to that framework of how you approach this, and we can dig into different parts of this, is really have something of value to deliver. Really make sure that you've actually, you know, you're creating something, content with them, you're doing something with them that actually helps them as an individual. So that's just, that's the probably a first bit of that high level framework is, yeah, is just knowing what you're coming with.
Yeah. I love this, that first tip of just go where you already have some existing relationships to get those proof points. I've been doing podcasting for now 4 years. My first podcast, I didn't have any proof points. And now 400 episodes in between two shows, I've interviewed lots of CMOs and VPs, and they can make introductions for me. But it started by having some early proof points because I didn't know anybody. So I love that call out, because then you build a body of proof of you are someone worth engaging with. I'm curious, how do you actually then map those things out tactically? Like, are you just going to your CEO and saying, who do you know? Because I've even had some of our team do that. And it's sometimes hard for me to actually like sit down as CEO and figure out who I know when there's such a broad question. So I'm curious, as you think about starting those relationships, how are you determining the people to go after?
I think this is actually a theme that goes throughout all the different stakeholders that you're going to interact with. Number one, make it easy for them. So if I'm going to go to my CEO, and I'll use the example. Say I work at a startup called Druva Data Protection, kind of back-endy kind of stuff. Not like people don't feel like it's super strategic. So it's definitely a difficult road to go down if you want to start interacting with people. But like I'd mentioned previously in the conversation, I ended up sitting down with the CIO of NASA Jet Propulsion Labs. And that effort came through a series of efforts. And so to get back to the point of how do I engage, let's say, with that tactically from going to my CEO or my C-suite and, you know, and then trying to find out who I can connect with, make it easy for them. Go to LinkedIn, find out who they're connected to, find out if there are any of your target accounts are on those, find out those individuals, list them out, find out who you can talk to, what you can talk to them about. And then so when you come to them, like the leader, and say, hey, look, I would like to talk to Sally. Sally is the CEO of this company. Sally is connected to you via this. Could you send, I talked to one of the account reps. The account reps of that account says, you know what, Sally actually has said some positive things in a couple lunches that, you know, they happen to be a part of. All of that comes together. Then now I, as a CEO, can make a decision of, oh yeah, that's right, Sally did meet with a rep. Oh, that's right, Sally is enthusiastic. I'm actually going to maybe have a conversation with Sally next week. And they'll know then to say, okay, yes, I think that's a perfect one to engage with. Or they'll know immediately to say, no, Sally is wants to rip us out of the data center or wants to go to a completely different service provider. Don't talk to Sally ever. But then you make it easy for them. So that's it. And that's the same thing as if once they give a green light, they give an intro, make it easy for Sally. Make sure that you say, I'm going to do everything. Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to set you up for everything. We're going to make you look good. And like we discussed before, have at least maybe one proof point. Maybe if you didn't do something at this company, show something really great you did at another company. Like I'll do, like, even though like I'm part of Salesforce right now, I'm actually part of a very small team at Salesforce where we're trying to establish a new brand. And so I'm actually reaching back to say, hey, look, here's a video I did when I sat down with Michael Dell and we did this, you know, I'm going to make you look like this. And they're like, yes, you've done that with Michael Dell, so that's okay. You can do it with me. Or, you know, I've done it with the CIO of GE Healthcare. And okay, great. You made, you know, Peter look great, so you can make me look great. So that's what people are really looking for. Like, and so, you know, first thing I did before I got this podcast, I'm like, let me look at this podcast and listen to see, you know, what kind of conversations Mason had with other people and how they sounded, who they were. And I was like, oh, that's... it sounds like a fun place to have that conversation or a fun conversation to have. So that's, I would say, a really good tactical way to start approaching it. Make it easy for whoever you are approaching, especially people in the C-suite.
Preach it. I'm going to send a star team. Super helpful. So I'm curious, one of the things you also mentioned is, you know, come with value. And I think we all agree with that. I'm curious, as you think through value, you know, when I was a marketing manager, $100 Amazon gift card was super valuable for like 30 minutes of my time. Now, $100 Amazon gift card for 30 minutes of my time is not as valuable. So like when we talk about value, like what are the things that have actually piqued C-suite's interest from a deliver value perspective? And how do we then make it easy for them to engage?
Those are good. It's funny because you can preach a lot of value you can deliver, but it's not always a slam dunk. It's not always a sure thing too. So I'll do two ends of the spectrum. on that particular point when I say deliver value. One is I want to say, look, we're going to create content. This content is going to go into these different channels. These different channels could result in you having your visibility raised, your brand amplified. Now, definitely we're going to do paid media behind any of these. Yes, this is going to push it out. And it's also going to give you a really great piece of content you can share with all of your colleagues, your friends, your grandkids, whoever you might want to be able to share that with. And that's super valuable. Now, one of the spectrum is CIO of Angel Medflight. It was a really fun story where I did a 45-minute podcast with CIO of Angel Medflight. Then that podcast became part of a virtual event at a healthcare conference. That virtual content then got picked up by a news outlet. That news outlet published a story about it. That story piqued the interest of one of these consulting groups, and that person got inducted to the 150 top influential, you know, innovators of 2023 or whenever it was. And so that's one end of the spectrum where he's just like, oh my God, my LinkedIn just blew up. All I did was get on the call with you for 45 minutes and this amazing thing happened. Now, that's the case study that I would share with other people. Say, hey, look, this is what could happen. The other end of the spectrum, I got, you know, in front of the SVP of network and security of Wells Fargo, somebody who's slightly busy, and got to sit down with them, shot a video, thought leadership video with them, made it a great experience. The studio was amazing, you know, and I was scrappy. Okay. It was scrappy. Like I basically just said, look, this is my big bet for the year. This is what I'm spending my money on. It's going to be a great experience. Ultimately, there was some reorging happening at Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo Legal totally shut the whole thing down. And that video never saw the light of day. But the experience of that SVP was amazing. In fact, the account reps literally physically grabbed me in the hallway after the shoot and said, that was so good. You have no idea. We have like a 7-figure deal in the pipeline with Wells Fargo, and this is going to help. And it did. They got up on sales kickoff and on the show floor and or the stage and said, this was part of the road to getting to that 7-figure deal. And they were super excited about it. And at the end of the day, though, that SVP, they had this beautiful video. We shared it with them, of course, to review. It never saw the light of day, never saw it published, but they got to show it to all their colleagues, to their coworkers, to their friends. I think it was the grandkids. The reason I said grandkids earlier, because I think I showed it to their grandkids. They're like, wow, you look so cool. And they got tremendous value from that experience, even though marketing didn't get anything from that. We got zero views, zero clicks, nothing from that. But hey, we got to help close a 7-figure deal. So I think that was pretty valuable. So those are the two ends of the spectrum when you're talking about value. And think about it in all those different ways. What is that person trying to accomplish? I literally was about to walk on, you know, the set with a CIO who was trying to switch industries. And he said, that's really hard to do. I'm going from this industry to that industry. And this thought leadership video is going to help me do that career switch. So think about all the different things that that individual could want. Not just maybe what their company's doing, but what is that individual looking to do? They're looking to switch industries. They're looking to elevate their, you know, their brand. They're looking to have greater reach, grow an audience. All the different things that that individual wants to do, think about that. And that's the value that you want to come with.
I love that. I worked at a company. We resourced roughly 30% of our revenue by just following chief revenue officers as they switch jobs. Mm. And the whole thing that we did, it was to just build great relationships. And whenever they were ready to make a switch, we helped them find their next gig. And that was not our business. Like people make good money to do executive placement.
Yes.
But our business was doing training and development for sales teams. But by helping CROs land their next gig, we then were immediately brought in to help develop their whole team.
Yeah.
So it was just such a helpful play because we cared about the person.
Oh, see, that is spot on. Now that reminds me of a Seth Godin quote. Of instead of using your audience to solve a marketing problem, like leads, clicks, you know, whatever, MDP, whatever you want to do, why don't you use marketing to solve their problem? And if you flip that on its head, you start realizing there's opportunities for you to be able to do things for them. Like you just described, you can do something for them. And then now they almost feel like they owe you something. And so when you're like working with the two most precious marketing elements, you know, resources in the world, which is time and trust, you need to be able to maximize the development of time to increase the amount of, trust that they have. So then they can give you more time so that you could build more trust. And that's same marketing sales. It's, you know, it's those, the same paradigm. And if you can do something that's valuable to them, they're going to be like, oh, that's right. That brand, that company, they helped me with that thing that time. Or even if you offer them something of value and they can't take it at that time, like, oh my God, I really want to be on your podcast, but I'm too busy because I'm flying to Europe and then I'm going to go to, you know, to Canada and dot, dot, dot. They'll almost feel like they owe you that, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I really wanted to be on your podcast. You know, is it still, can I still do it? It's almost like now you flip the dynamic of the relationship because you're not just asking for something and constantly trying to withdraw from whatever trust bank you may or may not have actually built with them. And so I think going deeper into that sort of showing up with value, I think is, you know, creating that trust so that you can, you know, be able to, you know, get some of their time.
That is so real. I have a CMO that has rescheduled on me for 4 months. And we have a running joke. He's like, I promise this is my last time. And like, we have now a joking relationship.
Yeah.
I have never spoken to this person in a call, but just through email and just through LinkedIn DMs. We've developed a relationship because he feels like he now owes me because of how much he's rescheduled. And I'm like, I'm just excited that you don't cancel on me. Like, I'm excited to have the conversation.
That's great. And to get super meta about that, just to dig into that, podcast just as a platform, and I'm sure you've talked about this before with people, podcasts just as a platform are tremendously accessible. They're super, like, going back to the make it easy for the person, they're super easy. And you would almost get anybody to say yes to a podcast. They're like, oh, especially, you know, a C-suite, like at a smaller company, to get you those proof points, because they're trying to be scrappy and they're looking for any media bit that they possibly can get. So tactically, yes, podcast as a platform, smaller companies to target first. If you've got, you know, a list of ABMs, go for your smallest ones first and say, look at, we just talked to the CIO of, you know, this company, you know, and no one necessarily is going to know, like, there's only 250 employees at that company. They're just going to see you talk to the CIO, and it's going to give them a story they can tell internally if their media, you know, or PR team says, well, why are you going to get on this podcast? Well, look at that. You have the CIO on, they've got this CEO on, and there's a CMO, you know, they were on that podcast as well. And it makes it easier for them to tell that story to say, yes, I can participate on this as well. So yeah, podcast, I can talk all day about how valuable podcasts can be for marketing and for ABM, especially. Oh, great example. I was at a company where it was right in the middle of the pandemic, and the JetBlue, as an airline, slightly impacted by the pandemic, had just got a new CIO. And the account rep was like, how the heck can I get a meeting with this new CIO? And I said, well, just offer them to jump on a podcast. They're brand new. They want to be able to broadcast their thoughts and have a nice platform and third-party validation. Once you offer that, they never actually ended up getting on the podcast, but just the fact that they were offered got the sales rep the call and started that relationship. And it was built on trust because they came with value.
I love it. So I think we've dug really well into tactically, how do we find people to reach out to? And then using those proof points, because I hate to say it this way, but like, once you've started to get clear evidence in market that I hang out a lot with CIOs and CTOs and CEOs and CMOs.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot easier to get more. So go for the low hanging fruit opportunity of people that you already know or that are associated to the founder of your brand. Mm-hmm. And then lead with value. You've walked through a bunch of tactical ways to do that. I'm curious, as you've thought through mistakes that have been made previously, like, are there any things that now that you've done this for years, there are things that you've learned where you're like, all right, we know this doesn't work and we don't even have that as a core part of our playbooks anymore?
That's a really fun question. Mistakes that are made and things that don't work. Okay, there's a couple things. It's tough to kind of to root this out, but one of the things where I feel like this is more of a mindset. If you make a mistake, it's probably because you or someone on the team or someone who's part of like the workflow doesn't really care about the person. Lots of people in marketing teams have never actually met a customer of the company that they've worked for. They've never been on a call with a customer. They don't know what the customer really, really is like, you know, especially when you just haven't physically been in front of one. It's tough. It's hard. So I would say the biggest red flag could be is if you have a culture or a team where you've got people that are just trying to get clicks and likes, and the numbers have to hit so that the arrow goes up into the right on the PowerPoint that I'm going to do on my QBR. So that's, I'd say, sort of an omen, I would say, of potential disaster. And a lot of different mistakes can be made along that path if people are just using that person to solve a marketing problem instead of the other way around, like I had mentioned. And so a big mistake is basically just talking to that person like they are just one other person who, you know, one other thing that someone has to deal with during the day. Like, oh, you know, hey, Sally's the CMO of X, Y, and Z company. And you just showed up and you're like, hey, Sally, sorry, you know, wasn't able to, you know, get to you today. Or I know it's been a week since you asked for, you know, the sample questions for what we're going to talk about on the podcast. But yeah, hey, just, you know, here's a couple questions, you know, and then I'll just kind of make them up, you know, kind of on the show. It's like, and then it's like, that's a terrible experience. So creating a terrible experience, not communicating well with the individuals that you're dealing with. And that's not something that I have particularly done, but it's been something that I've worked with people who have done that simply because they just use them. You know, there was just another thing that that person had to do. So if you're bringing people into that circle, and so I guess that my mistake in that case was bringing someone into that circle, into that workflow, and letting them have contact with individuals who I'm trying to, you know, deliver value for. And then they just sort of treat it as like, oh, this is just something I'm trying to get off of my plate. So yeah, definitely. If you're letting anyone have access to communication with like the C-suite, make sure that they are, they are going to do a stellar job and they truly understand. So it's probably the biggest one is just creating a bad experience for the individual that you're going to be working with. And that's across the board. That could be, you know, the people inside your company that you're trying to work with to then get to those C-suite people. So make sure if you're going to go through a sales rep because they own the relationship, make sure it's a great, great experience for the sales rep. If you're going to go through your C-suite to get that relationship, make sure it's a great experience for the C-suite because then they're going to want to do it again. Or they're going to feel like, hey, if I'm having this great experience, at least I know that this person's capable of delivering that experience to the customer. Because if I'm a sales rep and you're reaching out to my customer, you better not be messing with my pipeline. You better be helping with my pipeline. And I want to make damn sure that that is happening.
I think it's a great call out, you know, especially with the C-suite. I joked about it at the beginning, but like, if you don't do this well, you do get blacklisted person leaves the organization. Like, there's not that many, like there's not another CEO until that CEO leaves. And that's not a super common occurrence, especially if you're like bootstrapped or have a specific set of co-founders that gets you all the way through like series C or D. Like you burn the CEO, you're kind of done with that organization for a while.
Yeah.
So I just love the call out of make sure it's a great experience because it would be better to maintain a neutral brand perception than to unintentionally create a negative brand perception.
Yes, that is absolutely right. And yeah, when you're doing a targeted campaign, we're in an ABM and you're like, okay, I've got 12 or, you know, 1200, whatever that number is in between the number of accounts that you're going to be targeting. Each one of those, you know, is very precious. Yeah. And you lose one or 10 because you're busy or stressed or, you know, you're understaffed or you got people who don't care on the team. That is, they're creating negative brand perceptions and actually doing far more harm than good, you know, in a targeted campaign.
I love it. Well, Yadin, is there anything else that as you think about building ABM programs and specifically engaging the C-suite that we didn't cover off on?
Yeah, there's, I think, probably a lot of things that people are interested in. It's like, oh, hey, what about events? Should I get them to events? You know, hey, like, should I get them on webinars? Should I be making video with them? I heard you talk about video. Like, oh, podcast. That sounds like a really cool thing. Do not try and boil the ocean. Do not try and do a billion things. If you want a C-suite to come to an event that you have, there has to be a very, very bespoke and targeted road that you're going to lead them and nurture, if you will, to lead them to showing up at an event. And you better have something really valuable at that event to deliver them to them. Same thing, you know, if you've got a podcast, you need to be growing your reach of that podcast. So if you're doing all these things, you're trying to develop a YouTube channel, you're trying to get this podcast off the ground, you're trying to get C-suites at events, you do all these things, it's ultimately going to fail. So do not try to do all of them. Do one, do it well, then move on to the next one.
I love it. Yadin, thanks so much for joining me today. If people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Just go to LinkedIn, linkedin.com/PorterDeLeon. And that's where you'll find me.
Well, again, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter.
we release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.